Beers and Tears would like to acknowledge the traditional owners and custodians of the land from which we conduct this podcast, the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We recognise their continued connection to the land and waterways and sky of this beautiful place, and we pay our respects to elders past and present, and extend that respect to all First Nations people present today, and acknowledge that sovereignty was never ceded.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Beers and Tears. Today, I'm joined with Sam. Hello, how are you?
Dude, I'm doing good, man.
I actually really love your wallpaper. It is
one of the selling points of the house. I think we've shot 3 videos in this house now, and we have to move in February, so I think we've got good use out of it.
What is it? It's like green flowers?
Yeah, green flowers and like vines. And if I hadn't spent so much like trying to get this angle right, I would show you like the old grandmother plate we have mounted on the wall, which started as a joke, but it's beautiful.
I love it. Yeah. And you've released music in 2019, and yeah, I just kind of wanted to touch on like when you started loving making music, when you started kind of wanting to take it seriously as something that you wanted to potentially do as a career, and yeah, just like a little history of Sam.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. So I started playing guitar when I was in primary school. Was really lucky. We had a lot of exchange students at the time. And a lot of them were musicals, so I started to pick up a few things through them. I think one of the big, I was always very into music. Like I grew up, had my dad's record player in my room and like a bunch of his vinyl. And it was around the time when the Feel Good Inc. video came out, and it was played broadcast all across Australia to anyone who tuned into Roller Coaster TV every day, which was most of us. And that was kind of like when I started to fall in love with everything. We had a Japanese exchange student called Suzuko at that time, and she taught me how to play some of the songs off the first album on her guitar, which was like very, very punk rock. Like it was like a Strat with one humbucker in it with a beat. It was Black the Skull, like and that was cool. And then I kind of just picked up things here and there from other students that we had stay with us, and started making music. A funny story, I was looking back to my report cards the other day, and we had a primary school rock band, which was very interesting, very like, I guess, extracurricular to a T, but the teachers obviously were musicians themselves. And this report card for the teacher said, Sam is spending too much time talking about the rock band. My grades started to slip. It's grade 5, mind you. And like all he talks about is the band, and he's developed this rock and roll attitude, and that's all he says he's going to do with his life. And so we'll track from there to high school, was where I really started like writing songs and teething a little bit. And I always kind of played, didn't really do anything that was performing for like the public or playing shows even out of high school. I kind of thought that I was going to become a career hospo, and so I was working all the time, you know, like I didn't experience that side of nightlife because I was on the other side of the bar.
Totally.
And kind of that was going well, and then I think just the kind of mentality behind the bar industry, especially 5 years ago, a lot has changed since then. Kind of had a bit of a downward spiral, and I was a bit unhappy with what my life was. And I started, I picked up the guitar again and started really kind of venting my frustration through the songs that I was writing. And I decided that I didn't feel sustainable doing what I was doing. And music was one of the ways that I was able to communicate that with myself over time. I think, yeah, so that was probably about 2017, and then the SAM project followed pretty soon after.
Cool. I love that. I love that in primary school the teachers were like, this guy thinks he's some rock star.
I remember when like the Black Parade film clip came out, and then all I wanted to be was an emo kid. And it was hilarious because I was diagnosed with adult ADHD at the start of the year. So it wasn't just like the music that was giving me that kind of like, attitude. It was everything all together, and it was something I feel like hyper focus on.
True.
It's kind of funny looking back at that. Couldn't have it any other way now.
Yeah, totally. It's so interesting when people like get diagnosed like later on in their lives, and then you get to look back on your whole life and just be like, oh god, like that's why I was like that when I was like 12 years old. No wonder.
Yeah, it's so whack. There was definitely like some I was pretty salty about it for a little while.
Yeah, like, totally.
But then like I wouldn't be myself now if I had been. And you know, I probably would have loved that person just as much. But like I'm happy. So it came at the right time.
Yeah, totally. And you released Stronger Now, a track earlier this year. Yeah, how would you describe this track and what does it mean to you?
So I definitely sat on Stronger Now for quite a while. I wrote my first kind of SAM EP because I was dealing with kind of the fallout of being undiagnosed with ADHD. Working 50 to 60 hours a week in a cocktail bar where it was all kind of wake up, go to work, totally. Drink, stay 3 hours after close. And I was self-medicating and was definitely self-medicating with this is all ironic. I can't wait to get to like the end of this. I was just kind of living that lifestyle. Okay. And I was in a long-term relationship for about 4 years. And as a result of all of the factors that fell apart, and it was because I was self-medicating with amphetamines, which is very ironic because now they're prescribed to me. So I wrote Mandarin Season 2 kind of create a time capsule for myself that I could listen back to. When we were in the studio recording those sessions, I had just written Stronger Now, but I remember my engineer was like, that song's not ready yet. So it kind of, it was dropping back an error a little bit, but the song, to put it short and fast, it's about like knowing that yourself is stronger even though you're shedding people in your life from kind of situations that you have caused or decisions that you have made, but still trying to dive straight in and appreciate yourself. And I was really hoping, and I think that it has connected with at least a handful of people who have been able to relate to addiction and have been stuck in that loop before. And so that's what Stronger Now is kind of about for me. It's a bit more upbeat and a bit more positive than like the rest of the EP was, but it still has some dark tones to it. Yeah.
I mean, how does it feel for you to like share that kind of vulnerability with people, and you're like in your music so yeah openly with the world? It's out there now for people to kind of take and do what they will with it.
Yeah, like I guess I've adjusted to it now.
Totally.
Because that first EP was Five Stages of Grief, of dealing with a long-term breakup but also having an addiction as well, and it's a theme that I've carried through most of my music. Sometimes, like if I was going to look into like how it makes me feel negatively, even though it's purely probably like right inside here, is that it's just the stigma that is behind everything. I feel that if I'm having a bad day or something like that, it's like, oh my God, like I've just like publicly put all of this out and now everybody knows and like who knows and like stuff like that. But it was very therapeutic for me. And the reason why I decided to go through with it was because I wanted to also have something out there for others that could share.
Yeah.
I feel like when a substance is represented in music, it is often in like a more like let's imbibe kind of way to kind of like the mid ground. Like it's either really good, let's party, or it's really bad.
Yeah.
And like, I wanted to, yeah, it feels good to have something that's kind of sitting in the middle and can convey both sides.
Is there like, was there music for you growing up and going through your healing process? Was there music out there for you that you felt you could resonate with that you hope that your music does for others as well?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I think when I started like the heal, like, will always be healing
totally,
because it's yeah. never something that's put in a box and put away. But I really got into, I was always listening to, like when I was growing up, high, like primary school, high school, it was all like The Used, Taking Back Sunday, like My Chemical Romance and all like bands of that kind of genre. And then through high school was like kind of got hit by this band called Pavement, and it ruined my music taste for like 5 years because I didn't listen to anything that was coming out. It was just albums on repeat, on repeat, on repeat, and on repeat. Modest Mouse was a really big one. Like their first two albums like really stick with me. And I don't mind a touch of Elliott Smith every now and again, because I feel like if you really want to dive into that headspace, he's the perfect person to go to. Once I knew I needed to make a shift, I got into bands like Tops, which was a bit of like a change of sound for me. It was a lot more pop, a lot more like clean chorusy guitars instead of like really crunchy dissonant kind of sounds. Vocals were produced very clearly instead of, you know, standing 2 meters away from a microphone or running through a PV amp. And that kind of opened my eyes to that being, hey, I actually like this as well. Like bands like Tops and then Tennis was a big one for me that also kind of moved me into a bit more of like a pop headspace. Oh. And then from then, yeah.
Awesome. And yeah. You mentioned music videos. There is a music video for Stronger Now. Is like that area of art kind of something that you really like to dive into?
I'm really lucky because my partner, mine, has found herself over the years directing and writing concepts for music videos. Oh. And is really hitting it hard. And it's really great to see the growth that she has is achieving. It's kind of weird because I know that she's standing in the kitchen and probably listening to everything I'm saying right now. For you, but
Spring is here and it's the perfect time for a beer. This episode is sponsored by Heaps Normal. Want to enjoy a classic Aussie lager without the downsides? Heaps Normal has got you covered. Another lager is as simple as it sounds. No funny business or flavours that will confuse your grandparents. It's just a beer to slot in with the rest of your faves. Like the ones you know so well. Only this one helps you keep your hand steady and your pool game at 110%. It cracks, pours, and drinks like the rest of them, so it's up to you. No downsides in sight. Tastes just like any other lager. Nothing more, nothing less. What it lacks in ABV, it makes up for in classic, crisp flavour. Excellent chats and endless possibilities tomorrow.
Phoebe met me about 4 or 5 years ago now, just when I'd come out of a detox facility and was starting to like try to grapple with some change. And I think us knowing each other so deeply, it was really easy for her to, she has a very like visual kind of brain, and she could really resonate with my feelings behind the song, and she put that film clip together. Yeah. Wow. So yeah, it's really great to be able to work with my partner on piece of art together.
Totally. And something especially so close to, it's good to know that there is like, you know, a trust foundation that, you know, that she understands your story to the most degree that she can, and be able to like express that in the art is probably a really nice feeling, I can imagine.
It is really nice. It feels like it's almost at the point where, like, even if I didn't know anything about it, I'd be happy with, like, more than over the moon with what she creates.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, I feel quite blessed.
Cool. And you have a new single coming out. When's it coming out? What is it called? Tell me all about it.
So it's coming out on October the 27th. It's called Later Days. It's almost like it's a sister track to Stronger Now. So they'll both have been singing on them for a while, and it's kind of like Day and Night a little bit. Like Stronger Now is how you're feeling on a good day when you're out and you're around people, and Later Days is when you're having a bad day and you're home by yourself. Again, I was kind of repeating patterns, like addiction doesn't solve itself overnight, not in a year, not in 2 years, something that stays. And I think it gets a bit easier, but it's always part of your personality. Yeah. And I'd kind of like fallen a bit deeper than I had been before. Like I kind of got caught up with myself, and at that point I was semi-regularly an attendee of the emergency ward because I wasn't looking after myself, and I felt really lost, and I just felt like I was a disappointment and really letting everybody down. So it's definitely part of the expression, I guess. I felt like I wrote them both at the same time, but I never really thought about the two sides of them or how well they fit together. It was something I needed to capture and express as well. It's a lot slower. And I think I'm not a very like outward person most of the time. And if Stronger Now is like that 10% of like when I'm like feeling extroverted, Later Days is probably like the 90% of how I feel. And it's also closing on a chapter of music that has been dealing with these topics, and I'm excited to see what happens from there.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. I also just want to say I really appreciate like you sharing your story as well. It's really beautiful in a weird way.
I'm weird, yeah. Man.
To hear about it, because I feel like it definitely is just a topic that really has this stigma around it and isn't really discussed a lot, and it's got these weird stereotypes of what a person dealing with that is. And yeah, so I really appreciate you sharing that with the world. I think it's amazing, and yeah, I think it'll definitely be helping people out there who are also going through similar things.
I really hope so. Like I feel like this song is kind of closing a chapter of me musically, and I'm excited to see what the next one holds as well.
Totally. What kind of music are you hoping to make after the release?
We've got a few things in the works at the moment, which we've started getting into production for. Because Sam's is, I would say, like, it started off as just me by myself, and it was completely a solo thing for the first and even the second EP. But it's been really important for me to have everyone in the who plays in the project really involved. So there have been songs that instead of demoing by myself, we'll take them and actually work through them together. And I feel like it has a little bit of everybody in these tracks. So we're all feeling really connected to them, and we've had a really good time putting them together and getting them ready
yeah.
for everybody's ears. I think it's definitely, it's moving away from the themes of addiction a little bit. They're still there, but they're a little bit less blatant. And yeah, I guess it's a bit of a change up. Don't really want to spoil it anymore because there's still a song to come out.
Yeah, awesome. That's exciting. You went on tour with Wax. You played at their hometown show. How was that for you?
It was really, really, really interesting. Definitely one of the biggest like crowds that we've played to. It was quite eye-opening for me. I don't think I left side stage after we played. And just watching the production team and like management team and everyone involved working on an event of that size was kind of made me feel like, from mainly playing like, you know, small shows or festivals where everything's a little bit like loose, actually seeing how structured and how quick everyone is at problem solving and how everyone's on the ball straight away to make the show great, to make sure the show happens to everybody who's sitting 5 meters away, you know, like that was one of the biggest feelings I kind of took away from it, was how deep or how many different roles there actually are within the industry and different arms to be able to put a show on for 600 people. Could be more, could be less, not quite sure, but yeah. It was really eye-opening. I really enjoyed playing on that stage, and it's watching people roll in, like started and there was, you know, a few people around the front, and I looked out to the crowd at the end of the song and the venue was half full. So yeah, it was full on. We're all very nervous. I think for the first time I actually took like a sweat towel from home so I could do that one. It felt good. It kind of like digs back into, you asked me about like having such heavy emotional ties to the songs, and I think when I play live, that's when it comes out the most, because that's still the release that I return to. And I definitely felt a lot more exposed playing to a larger group of people, but I think everyone enjoyed it. We had some good feedback. So.
Yeah, awesome. And have you got any shows coming up?
Yeah, so we're supporting a band called The Dandies on Friday night. Dude, this week is so all over the place. I had to actually like try to like visualize my Google calendar in my head, which is going to be a really great time. Those guys are rock and roll, and this is going to be a fun gig. And then we're on the lineup for Yonder Festival, which is happening at the end of November. Ooh. Which we played back in 2020, and that was probably the highlight of the project. We're playing on a stage halfway up a hill, and it went from like us and then the crowd around the stage, then people sitting where the hill curved, just chilling out, and there was a fire ceremony at the top of the hill as we're playing. We could see all the tears, and yeah, I'm really excited to go back to it. It hasn't really like set in yet, but just kind of remembering the performance was like, and just the feeling of being able to perform in open air to everyone, I guess. I'm really stoked for it.
Yeah, cool. And what are you most excited for about performing these new tracks?
It's good to have a bit of a shake-up. Mm. But I just feel like it's a really fresh a fresh sound for us as a group. And I'm really blessed, like, considering that it's a project that I started by myself. I've got such like a really good group of people around me who I know are really into it and like feel it with me. And I think it's just being able to have songs that we have all kind of fleshed out together, and that's the finished track. I feel like we can really feel proud of our work together and the work that we've put in to then have it reflected off a festival stage.
Yeah, amazing. And in terms of like your song production, do you work on like song making process? How does that kind of go about, especially now that you kind of have other members tying into it as well?
So it's an interesting one, actually. It started off, I was just kind of writing all my parts on guitar and voice memos, and then maybe writing some melody, like lines to be transcribed to another instrument. And then I was given an old Zoom digital recorder, which kind of opened my eyes, being able to multi-track things, which I made countless demos of. Then I decided, hey, Sam, why don't you buy a 4-track? That's going to be amazing. And I did, and they're amazing, people who have one. Good job. But for writing, I feel for me, it can be a bit janky sometimes, and because you can be troubleshooting and it kind of stalls the flow a little bit. It's more of a tool to, you have something written and you record it. I'm very computer illiterate. Do not really know how to, definitely don't really know how to use a DAW, especially to the standard that a lot of people I know are at. So I'm excited to dive into that a little bit.
Yeah.
It was cool because the Fresh Sheep Peeling EP was multi-tracked, but I went to the Plutonium Studios in Brisbane to record it with Aiden Hogg, and I had the demos to give him, and we went and we recorded them together, but then he did all the production and all the mixing that went with it. And Later Days and Stronger Now were, it was really backtracked to how I wanted everyone to be a bit more involved personally with the music. We live tracked both of those songs, Later Days and Stronger Now, together and recorded them live at Airlock Studios, which was a really different experience. And I wanted the recorded songs to be a little bit more cohesive with our live set. And now for these new tracks, kind of like spreading it everywhere. I don't really have a time limit on it. I would like it to feel good the whole way through the process and to achieve something that we can all feel really good about. And Jack, who plays my guitar, is an audio engineer too. So we've started working together a little bit more, but like it's definitely a lot more casual, which is a good thing. Like I prefer to take time, because when you're working like a full-time job, it can be hard to try to force yourself to be creative. So it's trying to find that balance and do things when they feel good.
Yeah, awesome. And my final question is going back to gigs and touring. What is your most memorable time playing a show, and also the time where it's gone pretty shit?
Okay, I'll start with the really shit one. I was playing at a venue in Brisbane with my old punk band, and I used to break a lot of strings. For some reason, I just noticed it stopped happening as much, but maybe it was a mixture of a few things. And I would never have backups on me. Which also, that's another kind of thing that has changed a little bit. I feel proud, you know, like I've got leads, I've got strings, it's good. I broke 2 strings, and instead of stopping like we probably should have, I put the guitar down and jumped off the stage and started freestyling.
Oh my god, yes.
To probably 10 people.
Boss.
It was horrible. It is, it's visually funny, but it's I did not hear from the drummer from the band for about 2 weeks after that. Right. And I think the best was was playing in a car park stage that kind of, there's a venue called Greaser in Brisbane, and they have like an inside room, but for their bigger events, they there's a car park underneath the venue. And they'll set up like a full stage in there, and it almost feels like you're performing in like a level of Tony Hawk 3 back in the day. It's like very, very cool, very punk. And we're playing our set and just got exhausted by the end of the last song, which was Stronger Now, and just kept on belting through it. And I we finished and I put my guitar down and then kind of like fell over off the stage a little bit. Like there was no barrier. So I was kind of like straight into the crowd and got up and went and sat in the little like in like the staff kind of passageways. And then realized I really needed to throw up. So I grabbed an empty Young Henry's box, the only thing I could find, and it's just like water and liquid and probably beer straight into the box. And then the saxophone player of the next band came out and he started playing me like a super somber, like Taxi Driver-esque, like sax solo as I'm sitting on a milk crate, exhausted with a box between my legs. And he just like looks at me and I look at him. And he's like, "You're going to be all right, dude." And I was like, "Thank you." And I think that was just kind of like one of those moments where it's like, we're all in this together. Yeah, that's going to be
the best.
That's going to be the most memorable, I think. Yeah.
I love that. I love that saxophone player. If you're out there, you're a legend.
Yeah.
That's the best. Well, thank you so much for coming onto the podcast today. I really appreciate it. I really appreciate you sharing.
Dude, thank you so much for having me, man. It's always really good to chat. And yeah, thank you for supporting my music. Right.